All right. Let's see. We were at Acts 2:14 through 16. We were just talking about, Jesus had left his earthly ministry behind, and now he was telling the disciples that they were going to get the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and that they would be doing even greater works than Jesus did, which we'll see they did. All right. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel said that the Spirit would be poured out on them, that they'd be going into the kingdom. So Peter is picking up everything that was said before and trying to get, the nation of Israel leadership on board with it so that they can enter into the kingdom of God. So what Peter is preaching is still, once again, a reiteration of what we've seen all the way through history from the prophets. So, put Peter here in the Holy Spirit. All right. Okay, let's look at... So they had been displaying the power of the Holy Spirit. If you recall, what he was saying there was, they had just gotten the Holy Spirit. They were all speaking in tongues. Everybody was understanding them. And he was trying to let them know, this is what God had prophesied all along through his prophets, that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon us. I think, Richard, you were talking about Jeremiah and saying, you're going to pour out your Spirit on you, and you're going to have a new heart, and I'm going to write my law on you, and you're going to be able to do it. That's what Peter's trying to get them to understand is happening. And by the way, they got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to heal people and, make sure there's no sick people, because those people can't enter into the kingdom anyways. There's no sick people in the kingdom. So that's why the Holy Spirit's showing up in power now. So Acts 2:32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So in other words, now he's adding something new here. He's basically saying that Jesus who died on the cross is resurrected. Add that here. They've seen him with their own eyes. Remember, Jesus appeared to over 500 people when he came back. And the apostles saw him. And so they're basically saying, we've witnessed this. You killed the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And he came back to life just like he said he would. And he's just trying to, once again, through some condemnation even, to get them on board once again with, this is the kingdom program being fulfilled. If you just will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, we can all go into the kingdom. Continuing, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked to their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent! Be baptized! Right? So messages we've already been hearing. One of you in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name, believe on the name, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Once again, Holy Ghost now, resurrected Jesus, they're added to the mix here. Something new is happening. And a lot of times people say this is the gospel. Right? They stop there, like we were saying. They stop at Peter. This is the gospel. We're supposed to be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, we'll enter into the kingdom. Yes, Steve.
You're right. In witnessing to them, I've had people do that and pull up that passage. I said, well, you didn't read far enough. Go to 44 and 45 and do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Then they kind of let it come down and say, well, I'll
Yeah, well, yeah. But that's what this means or whatever. Yep. If we could just take the Bible for what it's saying and stop trying to make it something it's not, we'd be in a lot better shape. All right, let's see here. And it makes sense that Peter would preach this because, once again, he's preaching everything that he's seen beforehand. He's revealing, once again, the very things that were talked about way back here in promise, and now God is fulfilling with the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who's dead and resurrected, as Peter's talking about, and we can see now they have the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's drop down to Acts 3, 19, 21.
I'm so glad you dropped down so first, because they just stand out to me so much since right division.
Mm-hmm.
I always used to skip over that, never heard anyone talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
In 30-some years of Christianity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're all very blessed to have this church and the messages that it brings. And just so you know, I mean, I didn't create this all on my own. I got this also from graceambassadors.com. So I'm just, it was so important to me that I wanted to share it. So not like I came up with this on my own either. So that's the beauty. We get it. We share it with others, right? That's how they end up being knowing the fellowship of the mystery, because we share it. Cindy.
Well, when Jesus starts,
yes. Well, we start trying to go away from God's Word and make it up ourselves, then we're getting in trouble. I mean, if we just stayed with the Word, we'd be in a lot better shape. Steve.
Where did you say you got some of this?
GraceAmbassadors.com. Justin Johnson, for those of you who are familiar with him.
Yes.
So, Richard was saying, oh, you did a great job on this chart. Well, I really can't take credit. I actually created the chart in PowerPoint, but I got all the information from Justin Johnson in his talk on this. And I'm just now sharing it with you. So if you want the greatest version of this, you might want to go see, check it out afterwards and check him out as well. All right. So let's see where we were here. So they witnessed that Jesus was risen. So they have seen him. We put that on the board there. Acts 3, 19 through 21. That's where we were, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So we learned something else here. Jesus is resurrected, but what? He's coming back to usher them into their kingdom, right? So that's not off the table. Peter's trying to get them to see it. He's going to come back. We're in the last days. Now, how long have we been in the last days? Been a long time, hasn't it? But Peter's trying. He's saying, if we can just get you leaders on board here, we can do this. We can go in here. Can't you see all the Holy Spirit is doing right now? I mean, Peter's walking around, and even his shadow is touching people, and they're being healed. So that's a far cry from what Benny Hinn is doing these days. You've got to go up on a stage to get healed with that guy. But even Jesus didn't do that. Right? So Peter's walking around in the power of the Holy Spirit, and all these people are getting healed just by having his shadow touch them. Why? Because he's expecting. Now with the Holy Spirit here, Jesus is going to come back. All these people need to be healed so we can be ushered into the kingdom, be the priesthood to the nations. Once again, there's a bunch of people down here that are looking up here. Right? Because that's how they're going to get saved, given this dispensation, right? Through Israel. No other way yet. Yet? We're getting there.
I never knew that you had to go through Israel to get saved. I never would have picked that up by reading scripture. Ever. And that's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. And we see throughout...
That could be a door opener.
And we do see throughout Scripture that that's what was happening. You know, there was people that, you know, the Phoenician woman that, you know, wanted to, you know, get Jesus' power so she could be healed. And he was basically saying, you know, I'm for Israel, I'm not for the dogs or whatever. But because she was bowing down to what Israel was, she got the blessing. Same with that centurion that sent somebody to, you know, save his son. You know, I'm not worthy, but I believe, and, you know, he's been good to Israel. So his son was saved, even though he didn't show up. Jesus blessed his son.
And Stephen, you also brought up something I never thought about earlier when you said prophets even went to Gentiles.
I had no knowledge
of that. And that would be like Noah, or wasn't it? No, who? Yeah.
Jonah, yeah. Yep, Jonah's an example of that.
Well, he went to whoever he went to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's confusing, unless you know.
Mm-hmm.
They believed in the God of Israel.
Right.
Just like the other people you're talking.
Or if you saw there were some times where kings would say, I now believe in your God, and then they would be blessed versus cursed. So it's all through that that's been happening. Lori.
Did Gentiles get healed then through Peter? I don't really remember.
Well, Cornelius got the Holy Spirit, but it kind of happened in a different way than before. I don't know that. That's a good question. I'd have to look that up a little bit more to know if that happened. It seems like it would have been the people that were, you know, were in Israel, not the Gentiles.
What about people who were delivered of the demons and the effects that caused healing in their life? I mean, they were Gentiles, weren't they?
Yeah.
Where were they?
But if you remember, what's Peter still doing? He's still doing the same work that Jesus was doing, right?
Yeah.
For the nation of Israel.
Nothing.
So unless those people were coming and blessing Israel, I don't think they were getting healed. Right? Right. They'd have to be a proselyte. They'd have to come over and... Because why? Because then they'd be going into the kingdom as well. And that's why this is a blessing to the nations, because when they hear, they either say, yes, we agree with what you're saying, so then they can go into the nation as well. If they don't, what's going to happen to them? Steve?
Well, in some of those instances, too, that I can't hear everything in the back here, but some of the questions, you've got to remember, at some of those points, not in Acts, but the interactions, Christ hasn't even been crucified yet, so it's still, it couldn't be... just faith in Christ like we have understand.
Right.
It was like examples, I haven't seen such a faith in all of Israel,
yep.
The centurion.
Yep.
Like, if you're standing there as a disciple, what about us?
Right, right.
You don't have that faith yet.
But what he was speaking to was, once again, the faith to come under the Israel understanding of who their God was. And he basically said, because of that, I have not seen that. Because why? He's walking around doing all these things, and his leaders aren't trusting him at all.
And he hasn't died for anybody's sins at that point. So.
Exactly. So a lot is woven together here. You begin to see a lot of things kind of bumping into one another. So let's drop down, continuing with verse 21. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the beginning, since the world began. That's a world if you didn't know that. You've got a better one on your paper there. All right. So, this was known and spoken of since the world began. Have we seen that? Time and time again, step by step, we're seeing everything that was spoken about since the world began. All right. And then once again, it's all about Israel becoming this kingdom of priests that can help the nations learn God's law and enter into the kingdom as well. But this is the only way these folks were going to get saved, is by Israel being that priesthood that could depart the information to them and that they could accept and then be entered into it.
And that program operates
during the 1,000-year reign also?
Yeah, we're going to find out here in the next few minutes that, you know, why, what happened to this program? No, it's so the Gentiles could come in a different way, which we're going to talk about when we get to Paul.
No.
Oh, yeah, Jill.
Will you explain again what times of restitution is?
So, it's that point in time where, you know, once again, you know, John was saying, you know, be baptized, washed, so that we can enter into the kingdom. Well, the time of restitution is here. When there's no more pain, no more suffering. We've got our king on the throne. We've got our kingdom. We're here. Time of restitution.
You don't have to read the Torah then, too. Because
you know what it is. Right. Right. And then also it'll be imprinted on your heart, and God will cause you to do it. Won't even be them doing it, it'll still be God doing it. So this was one program in which God is going to receive the glory. We're going to talk about another program in which God is also going to receive the glory that doesn't require Israel in this. Right? We got Paul coming up here. All right.
You make much too much of Paul.
I do. Well, I'm glad you're here to say that. I'm proud of it. All right, let's go. Let's see what else I have in my notes here. Yep, Jesus will fulfill, and they'll be going into their kingdom, and that's the time of restitution. So great question, Janelle. And then down in Acts 6:15. So we have Stephen, right? And he's been trying to talk to the leaders as well about what's going on with the Holy Spirit. And he's been captured and he's brought before the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. What does that mean? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Things he's speaking now are coming directly from God through him. And he's telling them, what is he preaching to them? We've got the longest preaching in the Bible from Stephen. And what's he preaching? And you killed the prophets back here, and now you killed the Messiah, and he's up there waiting to come back, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. They don't want to hear it. They don't care. They're getting angry that he's saying all this stuff. He's basically saying that they don't know what they're talking about, and what Peter and the rest of them is doing is the way that they should be acting, and they don't want to listen to it. So in Acts 7:58, they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Nope. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Why? Who do we care that they laid their... Why do we need to know that guy's name anyways? Because he's going to become pretty important here pretty soon, isn't he? But he's the one that ends up persecuting that church and doing all kinds of harm to it. So even when God gave all this prophecy from the past, we see it being fulfilled through Jesus when he's here and his death and resurrection, and now with the Holy Spirit power and everything that's happening with Peter and 12 and everybody else that's come into that group, the leaders still reject it. And that's kind of it. That's like strike three, you know? God was sending his prophets. He didn't listen to them. God sent his son. You killed him, didn't listen to him. Now, we got Stephen talking through the Holy Spirit. You know, so we got the three in one, all being rejected. And now, what? Guess what? This is cut off for right now for Israel. Let's turn to Acts 8:1. Verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And why weren't the apostles scattered?
They were in Jerusalem.
Jesus told them to stay there and wait for him, right? Spread the word. Once it gets here, you know, we'll go to the next Samaria and go out to the rest. But did it ever get past any of that? Did not. Because the Jewish leaders would not believe. Skipping down to verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women committed to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went they everywhere preaching the word. So how did the word start to get out? Persecution in the church causes them all to be scattered. So then we got the Hebrew epistles, you know, we got Hebrews and Peter and James and 1 John and Revelation and all that. These were letters going out from these guys to the scattered people. And so what was their message?
Still the kingdom.
No change there. They're still doing the kingdom program. They're still part of this prophecy program.
They're only preaching to Jews.
And they're only preaching to Jews. Why?
Of course, they, because it's Jews.
Right. They're not going to really help these guys until this happens. They can't. That's not the way they've learned it. They're looking forward to that kingdom where they can be the priesthood of the to the nations. Exactly. But everything has been showing up to show that can happen, but the leaders did not accept it, and so therefore it was cut off. Stephen was the third strike, and that was the end of that, and Paul starts persecuting the church. All right, let's go to James 1, verse 1. And we'll see that those things are going to the tribes of Israel. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, as well as the Gentiles. Wrong. So they were just speaking to the 12 tribes, as we said, just to Israel. You guys know this way better than I do. I can see that already, so... All right, now let's go to Acts 9, and we're going to look at 1 through 6. Because I've kind of neglected this little portion of the Bible that's between the Gospels and Acts and the Hebrew epistles. And those are the 13 epistles from Paul, right? We're going to get into that. Steve.
I didn't mean to. I just went back a little bit in Acts. Five, and Ananias and Sapphira.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how grace was in effect at that point.
Well, grace wasn't in effect at that point. They were still under the law, right? And now all of a sudden, you know, you get this Holy Spirit and now you're doing things that are against that. So guess what? So that stops real right away. God says, I'm going to send a message.
They were just
playing. Boom. Yes. And buried outside the city walls. All right. So, now back to 9, 1 through 6. Let's start getting to that part where grace starts to show up, okay? We've been waiting a long time for that. And Saul, yet breathing threatening slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What's he going to be told to do? So here we have, this is, to me, is just what's amazing. You have the guy that's the most, the one persecuting the church, creating the most havoc for this little flock than anyone. And God decides in His great wisdom, I'm going to use this guy to go to the Gentiles and deliver a new message. That just, I mean, if you just sit there and think about that for a second, isn't that crazy? He put the right guy, though, obviously, didn't he? Paul had a lot of zeal. You know, when he was on that Jewish side, he was really against everything wrong. And then when he's on the mystery side, he's against anybody that's trying to muck that up for his people. So he was a very zealous person and a great choice by God. So let's see. Let's drop down to verse 9:15. So this is when God is talking to Ananias to go to Paul, who's blind at that point from the situation in the desert. And he says to Ananias, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. So if you think about it, Saul, at the time, was persecuting the church, and basically Jesus Christ came to him out of grace. And that's why he's our example. I mean, he's saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. Didn't deserve it, was persecuting everything that Jesus had been setting up before, and yet, here he decides, I'm going to save this guy, and not only that, I'm going to send him out with this new message that's going to help save the Gentiles apart from Israel. And
chosen before the foundations of the earth, you're chosen at that point in time.
It's unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. I don't see that part, what you're saying.
That's a question.
Oh.
I mean, is there any indication in the Bible that Paul was chosen before the foundations of the earth?
No.
Okay. So this is a man who just... Yeah, but he knew the mystery before the foundation of the earth. I mean, the Lord
knew that. Yeah. But we don't hear that Paul's going to be the one. I mean, we're not hearing anything about this at all.
No,
we've been seeing it.
What was known before the beginning of the world that was not revealed was the church, the body of Christ.
Yep. And we're going to get to that. You're absolutely right there with it. So we have Paul now. He's got this new message. Right? And I've run out of room here, so I'm going to do a little changing around here. Okay. We're going to add Paul up to the board now. But we have a little bit of a problem here. Because Paul's getting something that doesn't really stack on to before. And everything that was stacking on was really kind of a confirmation of what was before. But Paul's now getting something that doesn't fit that way. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. All right, let's drop down to, or let's go to Romans 16:25. All right, Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So Anne and Mary, you were right on it. There is this secret that has been kept by God before the world even began. So beyond this, not part of this, never revealed before until Paul. Paul receives it through revelations from Jesus Christ. So it's a brand new thing. So we have to kind of start a whole new aisle or row or column here for Paul. And we're going to see it's going to start to undo some of these things from before. All right. So Paul says he's talking about a mystery gospel not spoken since the world began. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9:17. It says, "For if I do these things willingly, this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." So he's been given a different gospel than what was being preached before. And he's going to start sharing that more and more here. So you see throughout the epistles that God was giving something new to Paul to give to the Gentiles. Let's look at Galatians 1, verse 1. It says here, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by who?
Christ.
Jesus Christ." Which Jesus Christ? The earthly Jesus Christ?
Resurrected.
Mm-hmm. "In God the Father, who raised him from the dead." So we've heard of gospels before, but what's this message? This is something new. This is not adding to the past as we've seen in the past, but it's something brand new that God is bringing to Paul to share with the Gentiles. Ephesians 3:1-6. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, nowhere in history since Noah had God gone to the Gentiles, it was always through who?
Jews.
Always through Israel. And that was his will." So we're seeing something different about his will now. He's bringing something totally new. Verse 2. "If we have heard of the dispensation of the grace, God which is given me to you word." So what is this dispensation of grace? Okay, now we're getting someplace. Verse 3. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Whose gospel? Paul's mystery gospel, right? So Paul is bringing something brand new. What did he say? Never heard of before through all of this. Before the foundations of the world. So they had never heard any of this. So there's nothing to stack on to here. We got to start anew. So 14 years after Paul was saved by Jesus Christ, he goes up to Jerusalem to have a meeting with Peter. Remember why? Yeah. He's preaching, you know, there's grace, there's no circumcision, there's no such thing as Jew-Greek, all that. And yet, Peter's people keep trying to bring something of this to them, and it's like they don't work. They don't fit together. And if we recall, we said that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the circumcision, and now Paul is preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision. Two different, unique things. Not the same. Let's go to verse 2. Oh, no, I did that one. Let's go to verse 3. So Paul has the gospel of the uncircumcision, which was good news for these folks, right? Because now they could be saved apart from this whole Israel kingdom program. Not so much good news for these guys. They'd never heard any of this stuff before. You know, he's talking about heaven, and they're never thinking about heaven. They're always thinking about a kingdom on earth. Right? So Paul is bringing some totally different things that is totally disrupting this, that these folks are like, what is he talking about? And Peter's people are trying to continually go to the people that Paul has preached to, and they're preaching something that doesn't line up. Because it's totally different. All right, let's go to Galatians 2:7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. So he's pointing out there's two different gospels going on here, and he's telling Peter, cut it out with your group trying to teach my people something that's not part of this gospel. And then Ephesians 2:6 says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whoa, wait a second here. What about that kingdom thing we've always been talking about? Now you're talking about a place in heaven? See, they're not lining up. Starting to fall apart here. So down here where we're going to have dominion on the earth, where are the Gentiles? Where are we going to be? So heaven, right? Not an earthly dominion, man. We're going to have a heavenly dominion. And then in back here, we know we had God saying to Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. Let's look at Colossians 3:11. And then there was going to be this nation of Israel, in which God would do all these things through to help the other Gentile nations. But in Colossians 3:11, Paul says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythians, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. So, sorry nation of Israel, no Jew, Greek, Gentile, but all one. He's no longer working with a nation. He's working with everybody now. He's looking at all the same now. He's coming up with a program that's going to save everybody apart from this message.
And their inheritance is different.
And their inheritance is different. Yeah?
It's a whole new creation.
Yeah, so we're not co-heirs with Jews, with Israel. We're co-heirs with Christ.
Christ is our head and we are his body.
Exactly. Exactly. Turn to 2 Timothy 2:7. I know I'm kind of going fast here. I'm just trying to get the last few things in here, hopefully. So consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He's basically coming up with something that even Peter said was hard for them to understand whenever he would write the letters. And what Paul's got something that is hard for us to understand because it's something different. But he's been given the right hand of fellowship because they also saw it was from God. It was from Jesus Christ. Two different programs. Dropping down to Romans 6:14. I said go to 6:14. Now Paul is saying, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. So we had a law here. No longer. We're under grace. But what about that law, Paul? You know, all the prophets before were talking about follow the law, follow the law. If you don't repent, you're going to end up being in trouble with God. You know, we had to do things to wash ourselves for the remission of our sins. Well, now God's not imputing any of that to us. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're at peace with God. We're not under the law, we're under grace.
And yet, for this short period of time, on the timeline of the book of Acts, you were still under that law at the same time this
time. Right. And remember we said that we were starting to see these conflicting messages. But when Stephen was stoned, what happened? We got a transition going on here once again, folks. This is the message for now. Is that going to get picked up later? Yes. When we're raptured and then God comes back to the kingdom program, and then it's going to be a kingdom of priests that are blessing the nations. And the only way they'd come through is, but are we going to be in the same place? No, we're in heavenly places. And they're going to be in earthly dominions. Paul's totally wreaking havoc now. And this is what I just find so interesting. Remember before, he was persecuting this church. And now he gets a totally brand new message that's undoing basically everything. Any reason why he was hated so much by the Jewish leaders back then? Surrender grace. And let's see what else. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:8. Just dropping down one verse. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to whose gospel? My gospel. Which is a mystery gospel. And it's different than the other gospels. Because it's not preaching any of this. It's preaching grace. It's preaching heavenlies. It's preaching no Greek, Jew, Gentiles. Does it look like Paul is totally saying that old things have passed away and things are now new? That's exactly what he's saying. All right, so let's see here. I'm going to find that one. The verse where he says all things are new. So 2 Corinthians 5:19. This is where he's basically saying that we've been reconciled with God. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Meaning at one point you're enemies, you come back together, you reconcile, and there's no longer any division between you, there's peace. So he's created that. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So once again, he's saying they're going to get their program back, but not until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Two different programs. You also see that he's saying the kingdom is postponed. So Paul is basically saying, these are old things, new things have now come in, we're new creatures, we're not the same as this. If we were to be entered into what Israel has, we'd be part of a really old creature from the beginning of time, from Abraham. That's pretty old. But we're in a new creature, which has a whole totally different destination and destiny than this program does. So I know we're running a little over time, so I think I'm going to stop it there. But thanks for listening to me. It's the first time I ever did this, so appreciate it.